song obviously had in mind the thought of someday going to heaven. And actually, the word Zion has reference to that eternal home of the redeemed. And how thankful you and I have that privilege of being able someday to go and live with God in Zion, or what we call heaven. In preparation for this lesson tonight, this last week, I went to the Cruden's Concordance and looked up the word heaven and how often the word heaven is used in the Bible. Now, you know, there are three major concordances that we all have great familiarity with. That is the Strong's Concordance. And we know that the Cruden's Concordance is one that is so very, very important to us. Someone told me the other day that the Cruden's Concordance was for crude preachers, and they looked at me very sternly. But that is not why I use it. I like the Cruden's Concordance, and as I said, there are numerous other ones. There are three major ones, but I like the Cruden's Concordance. And but I looked up that word heaven, and that word heaven is mentioned many, many times. In heaven, the heavens, you know, into heaven, onto heaven. And if you were to go to that concordance, you would find that there are many references to that place that we long for. You know, I think sometimes maybe we don't long for heaven as much as we ought. I heard a preacher preach a sermon one time on the subject, homesick for heaven. And you know, I really believe that all of us should be homesick for heaven. Paul the Apostle said, "For me to die is gain." He said, "I long to be with God." And when he came to the end of his sojourn here upon this life, Paul could say that I finished the fight, I've kept the faith, I finished the course, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all of them that love his appearing. Now, I told you tonight that I was going to speak on the subject, how do I get to heaven? If someone were to ask you that question, what would you say? Let me just kind of give you a little scenario here about how maybe some people might answer that question. A lot of people would say, well, if you're just a good moral person, that is, you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't chew and you don't do all those ugly, bad things, you don't have any vices in your life, you suddenly have gotten rid of all of those and you're going to go to heaven. Some people say, well, if you're a good moral person, then it is ensured that you're going to live with God when life is over here. There are some people who say, well, if you just believe in God with all of your heart and you have that real strong conviction that there is an eternal abode and you believe in God, then you'll go there. A lot of people would say, let me give you a case scenario for those of us in the church. A lot of people would say, well, if you're baptized, if you just get baptized, you're definitely going to heaven. Now, are we? A lot of people say that. A lot of people, you know, echo that one thought. Well, if I got in the baptistry and I got wet, then I know I'm going to go to heaven. Folks, let me tell you, that is not the biblical answer to that question. How do I get to heaven? A teacher said, if I sold my house and my car, and I had a big garage sale, and gave all the money to the church, would that get me into heaven? And all the children in the Sunday school class said, oh no, teacher, that won't get you into heaven. To which she said, if I cleaned the church every day and mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven? To which all the kids in the Bible class said, oh no, that won't get you to heaven. Well, then if I was kind to all the animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my wife, would that get me into heaven? Or my husband, would that get me there? Oh, no, that wouldn't get you into heaven. Well, she continued. And she said, well, what do you think's going to get me into heaven? And all the class, along with a little 5-year-old boy who stood up for all of them, said, well, you've got to be dead. Well, believe it or not, that is the way that you get there. Unless we're living, that is, this side of eternity when God comes. you know, what is heaven really going to be like? I think maybe one reason we don't long for heaven is the fact that we are not real sure about what heaven is. What is it really going to be like? Sometimes people think in terms of heaven as something that's just a little bit better than that which we have here on earth. But it's going to be much like it is in heaven. I heard about a very happy couple one time who were on the eve of their wedding day, and they were killed in an automobile accident on their way to the wedding, and that would be a very terrible thing. But anyway, as they approached the pearly gate, St. Peter was standing there, and they began to ask him. They said, "Look," says, "we were just about to get married. Is there any way that we could have our ceremony up here?" And St. Peter looked at him and says, "Do you realize how long it took me to get a lawyer up here?" Said, "Do you have any idea how long it's going to take me to get a preacher up here?" Well, I hope preachers get there. Some will not make it, obviously, because they don't understand how you get there either. Well, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about how you get to heaven. How will you make it? What are you depending on? Well, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm a good person. I can rely on my religion to get me there." Do you know that there is a difference, as I mentioned this morning, concerning religion and righteousness? You cannot get to heaven based on your religion. You could be religious all day long. You could read the Bible through every year. You could pray every day, three times a day, as most people did in New Testament times, and they did it on call. But that's not the way you get to heaven. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to heaven except by me." Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, and we're going to read about a man who asked that very question. How do I get there? In verse 16, the Bible says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Yeah, he was like a lot of people who thought, "Well, you know, it's based upon something that I do. And if I could just do enough good, and if there's one thing that stands out more predominantly over anything else, then I'm willing to do it so I can go to heaven." And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? For there is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said unto him, "Which?" And he said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Well, he was just waiting for Jesus to say, "Well, you know what? Your ticket's already punched. You're going." But Jesus didn't say that. And the young man said, "Well, all these things have I kept from my youth up." And Jesus says, "Well, here's how you get there. If you will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Well, that really wasn't the answer that the young man was looking for. And the Bible says that the young man, when he heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, there are five major religions in the world. Have you ever thought about that? Just five major religions. There is that which we call Hinduism. And they have, believe it or not, 300 different gods. Now, could you imagine having 300 different gods and you pick out whichever one you want to serve? Hinduism has 300 gods, and they practice four different kinds of yoga, and they believe that practicing one of those is going to get them into heaven. There is another religion that we call Buddhism. And that is that you enter into some kind of eightfold path to pleasure, and you will eventually get to this utopia. Islam. That is, if you worship Allah and you obey all the tenets of the Quran, then you'll get there. There is Judaism. If you follow all the laws of the Old Testament to perfection, you will get to this celestial city. We know it's impossible to do that. And then there is Christianity. It is not what you do, but what God has done for us because He loves us. If our religion gets us into heaven, why did Jesus die upon a cross? If it was based upon me and not upon Christ, then I would have to say that Jesus died in vain, and that the only way that I'm going to heaven is simply by what I do. Not so. Your getting to heaven is based upon something much more important than your religion. Now, I've heard people say, well, I know what it is. I know how I get to heaven. Here it is. If I am righteous, I will get to heaven. Have you ever found in the Bible? I got to thinking about that. Have you ever thought, can you find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ ever said, if you're righteous, you can go to heaven? Now, you find statements like this in Matthew 5:20, where Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible in 1 Peter 3 and verse 14 says that we're going to suffer for righteousness' sake here. And Jesus, in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 33, said that we're to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. We read in Ephesians 6 and verse 14 that we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness, if you will, and that we are to follow after it, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And that we are to be righteous. But going to heaven is not based upon our righteousness altogether. You know why Jesus, listen to what He said. He said, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, a lot of people believe tonight that they're going to heaven because they're righteous. Because they've done so many good things in life and they're kind of a righteous person. I've heard people talk about other people, how righteous they are. And their righteousness is based upon what they do for others. They may fix a meal for someone who is hungry. They may rush over and take care of their children when they're sick. They may go mow their yard. They may do a lot of things, clean the house. They may give them money or do a lot of things. And people look at them and say, well, aren't they righteous? Sometimes people think righteousness is just abstaining from all the bad things in life. That doesn't make you righteous. It doesn't. I've heard people say, just like this young man who says, hey, I've never done all these bad things you're talking about. I'm a righteous person. And Jesus says, wait a minute. You missed the mark. That's not one that's going to get you into heaven. That won't take you there. It's not your religion, and it's not your righteousness. Even though the Bible says in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 6 that we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. A lot of times people want to go to heaven in their own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, according to the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 12, but the end thereof is the way of death. Sometimes people rush out and they get baptized without ever really thinking about what that really entails. That's why so many people come back in later years and say, well, I know I was baptized, but I'm not sure that I was baptized for the right reason. I'm not sure that I understood what I was doing when I went down in water. Always try to help people understand what baptism is really all about. Baptism is not something that's making you righteous. Baptism is something that is taking away your past sin and putting you in a position to receive the forgiveness of sin in the future. Well, a lot of people say, well, now wait a minute. When Jesus was baptized and John didn't want to baptize him, didn't Jesus say, suffer it to be so or allow it to be so, that is, let me be baptized, that it may fulfill all righteousness? That's right. It was in the will of God that Jesus do it. But Jesus was righteous before he even got in the water, folks. He didn't have to get baptized to get righteous. Sometimes people take out religion or take upon themselves religion as an insurance against hell, and then they're unwilling to pay the premium. Heaven is a toll road, all right. It is not free. It's not a freeway. Salvation is not a reward for all the good things that we've done. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, it refers to the righteousness of God which is by faith. And when you understand what the word faith means, it means much more than just believing in God. It means much more than just mental assent. It's based upon your relationship with God, and that's what brings us to the last thought here. If I get to heaven, it will be based upon my relationship with God. And that's not just the fact that I was born into the kingdom. A lot of people mistake that and they misunderstand it. They say, well, as I mentioned this morning, if I get baptized and I get in the church and I get in the kingdom, then it's sure that I'm going to go to heaven. God never, ever said that at all to anyone. A lot of people believe it. A lot of people mistake the idea of baptism and what it really is all about. But it's based upon the relationship that we have with Christ. Sin must be dealt with, not to our satisfaction. I've heard people say that. But it must be dealt with to the satisfaction of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think sometimes even those of us in the church get this idea that if I do enough works and I do enough good things in life, then I'm going to be righteous and God's going to give me heaven. We kind of think that maybe when we stand at the judgment bar, that God is just going to check off all these good things and say, oh man, I'm glad you did that last one because you wouldn't have made it without it. God doesn't do that. Not going to do that. How do I know that? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Listen to this. That not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. But it comes to the people that really have a relationship with Him. And as I said, it's much more than just getting wet, and it's much more than having your name on a roll. Let me tell you something. You could have your name on the rolls of 100 churches and still split hell wide open. And that ultimately brings it down to this thought that God knows your heart and He knows whether you have a relationship with Him or not. Well, how can I stay in the relationship with God? If it's based on me having the relationship with God, how can I know? How can I know? And a lot of people run around scared all day long thinking, well, you know, and they just let this cloud overshadow them and they walk under that cloud all day long and they think, well, if I die, you know, will I really go to heaven? If I were to ask you the question tonight, if you were to die tonight, would you go to be with God? Would you have heaven as your home in the judgment? Do you know for sure? Some people don't. Do I know for sure? You bet. Absolutely. You know for sure? Some people don't. Do I know for sure? You bet. Absolutely. Is that arrogance on my part to say that? No. Would it be arrogance on your part to say it? No. It's confidence on my part, and it can be confidence on your part. It wasn't arrogance when Paul said, I know there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. But the righteousness was not based upon what Paul did, but it was based upon the righteousness of God. Because Paul had a relationship with Christ. Well, how can I stay in that relationship with God? Jesus came into this world to save the last one of us. He came to save the last, he came to save the lost, and he came to save the least. If you have a television, you have a washing machine, or you have a Toyota, and something happens to it, there are five words that scare us. You know what they are? Let me tell you what they are. Your warranty has just run out. Well, how can I have a warranty with God? How do I know that I can go to heaven when I die? And how I can get there? Is because the warranty that we have with Christ does not have an ending date. As long as we meet the terms of the warranty. Have you ever noticed that on every warranty, there's that little fine print? You ever notice that down at the bottom? It says warranty, and it'll have exceptions, and it'll have that fine print down there that tells you, how you can keep that warranty up. You know what? God's warranty is based upon whether or not we're faithful to Him. I've known some people in my lifetime who were very faithful at one time in the Lord's church. And they quit coming to church, they quit giving, they quit serving the Lord, they don't read their Bible anymore, they quit praying. God has taken, a back burner to them. And they have no relationship with God. At one time they may have been born in the kingdom, but they have no relationship with God tonight. And you know what? That's why I say when you stand before God in judgment, it's not going to be based upon things you did in your past, all the good things, and that's going to make sure that you get into heaven. But it's going to be based upon where you are right now. Sometimes I hear people in the church say, they say about Bible class, they say about a lot of things. Well, I gave it my best when I was young, and now it's somebody else's turn. How do you think God feels about that? Jesus says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's how you get there. That's what Jesus had to say about it. And it's still true. That's how you get to heaven. Through Him, through the relationship. You can be righteous in the eyes of the world and not in the eyes of God. You can even be religious. I guess there is a good religion, a bad religion. The Bible talks about a pure religion, James 1:27, so I guess there can be an impure religion. You can have religion in the eyes of the world and still not be religious in the eyes of God. You could have a relationship even in the eyes of the world and not have a relationship with God. Well, if it's based upon your relationship to God, wouldn't it be important and doesn't it behoove you to be a child of God? And the way that you become the child of God is by believing in Him, all right, and by turning away from your sin and by confessing and being baptized, all right, and that puts you into the kingdom of God, and that really begins your relationship with Christ. That doesn't make you righteous, doesn't make you religious, but it does put you in a position where you have a relationship with God. And what you do with that relationship through life will determine what God will do with you in the judgment. Now, maybe you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. You don't have a relationship with God. You really don't. You have a religion. You may think you're a righteous soul, but you don't have a relationship. And if going to heaven is based on the relationship, folks, I want to be his child. And I've told you how tonight to become his child. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement and give you an opportunity to act upon your faith and to become his child. It would be remiss on our part tonight if we didn't offer that opportunity for you to do that. But I can't think of anything sadder than for one to have had a relationship with God and then leave the Lord. As I mentioned this morning, it's better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. God wants you to live the righteous life, but getting to heaven is not based upon your righteousness, but it's based upon the righteousness of God and what Christ did for you at the cross. And if you believe that tonight and you want to become a Christian, you want to be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins, you can do that, and I would suggest you act upon it, because you may die with good intentions in your heart. God may seal your fate before you're ready to. And even as a child of God, you can come to church all day long. I mean, you could come every service and never miss a service in your life and still not have a relationship with God. But I've told you tonight how you can have that relationship. And if it's something